today on Real Radio.
See, in here tonight, we believe God is the creator and the designer, and there's overwhelming evidence for it. He is the one who has engineered this thing called sexuality. And if God did it, church, listen, if God did it, then it must be logical.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up, Pastor Jack begins today's lesson by asking the controversial question, what is our sexuality? Now, God designed sexuality with a specific purpose in mind. He created both male and female to come together as one because our very existence depends upon it. But what brings a man and a woman together spiritually? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:4 not to look solely on the outward appearance, but rather on the beauty of a pure and gentle spirit, which is the most precious in the sight of God. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So tonight, when we look at our worldview series, which is intended to give you an understanding as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a biblical worldview ought to be in our culture, it is my opinion, I hold strong to this, that we wouldn't be in the mess we're in as a culture in America if pulpits and pastors and churches would have long time held to being faithful to presenting your Bible and the world you live in as one and the same. Somewhere along the line, the American church got away from causing a Sunday to just be the day of education and worship, and all the other days is where you lived out what you learned on a Sunday. It seemed to happen in the 50s or so when our culture began to put God in a box all 6 days a week and most of the seventh day of the week, and then bring him out for an hour and we would have our church, and then we would go back to our pleasures as a nation. And now we're reaping the whirlwind harvest of that as a culture. And it's my passion, it's my desire, as long as I'm living, that you do not see Monday different from Sunday or Sunday different from Thursday, because we are believers. Our God is on target every moment. He's providing breath every second to us, and the world and all that is in it is His, and that includes us, and we need to be believers 24/365. There's no doubt about it. We are to be living the reality of an authentic Christian life everywhere we go, at all times, no matter what costs, no matter the pain or sorrow it could bring upon us. We are Christians first, no matter what we do. And so tonight we are looking, in fact, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll see how it goes, we are looking regarding our worldview series, what is our sexuality? We're going to be talking about sexuality in the next several weeks. And that's why I said when I'd mention that word, some of you would blush, some of you would say, oh my goodness. And the young people are sitting here this evening saying, so what's up? Because they are being bombarded with definitions of what sexuality is. And the Bible tells us that our God is the creator of not only our sex and our gender and sex itself, but sexuality. It's part of God's engineering into our human person. But the world, and the world is very good to do this, the world is expert at this. It takes what God has given and perverts it. It makes it wicked or evil or messed up. Music, the world messes it up. The arts, the world messes it up. Marriage, the world messes it up, right? Parenting, the world messes it up. Name it, the world messes it up. Everything that the world gets its hands on, because it departs from the Creator. It is so very true that to them, He is the unknown God. But to us who know Him, we cannot lie against the truth. What is tonight the topic, our sexuality? Human sexuality, not so much regarding in our series sensuality, that's not what we're going to talk about, but rather the sexes or genders according to what is factual. And that's very important. So when we talk about sexuality, We're talking about the ability of God to do what he has said that he's done and to keep it going. You are an amazing creation of God. In fact, as we get into this study tonight, mark down the very first thing as point one. When we look at this, what is our sexuality? It is this. It is God-engineered sexuality, and it's logical. Will you mark that down? Imagine we're preparing now to take a journey or to take a test. Figure this out right now. God-engineered sexuality is logical. See, what do you mean by that? And I want you to, in your notes, notice that there is both the pro and the con, or the issue and the anti-issue. God-engineered sexuality is logical. First of all, as believers, we're looking at a biblical worldview. God-engineered. See, in here tonight, we believe God is the creator and the designer, and there's overwhelming evidence for it. He is the one who has engineered this thing called sexuality. And if God did it, church, listen, if God did it, then it must be logical. Because God is not illogical. Everything God does is reasonable, has a purpose. He doesn't do anything for fun, for out of reason. In fact, I tell you what, as soon as I said that, I thought about yesterday for a second. Yesterday was strange. I love sunrises, and I watch them every day. And yesterday was an interesting thing, because when I say he doesn't do anything just for fun, in a sense, he does everything meaningful. And I think he did something for fun yesterday in the sunrise, because I saw something I had not seen before in a long time or if ever. And that was the sunrise was beautiful for about, it came on and it went away in about 20 seconds. That was it. You blinked a few times, you missed it. And I was standing there watching it, and it was just amazing enough and gone, almost like a slow lightning bolt. The sky turned against this beautiful blue, baby blue sky, this incredible peach and red, and then this orange, and then gone. And I just said, God, thank you. Wow. God, that was fast. And I think he did that just for fun. But even that had a purpose, because the purpose elevated worship. Amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female. Mark it, male and female, he created them. What is our sexuality? The Bible says male and female. God says he created them. Now, if you don't believe in God, then you can mix and match that all you want. You can just create all kinds of things. Just know this. You're departing from logic. You say, what gives you the right to say that? Science. 5,000 years of human history. Just because someone writes a book or the school system adopts a curriculum that says you can define your gender based upon what you determine for any given day. I just read that today. In California, in their California Teachers Association manual that I got from a meeting that they had in Palm Springs in October, I got all the data, I got all the classes, all the stuff, that children today are being taught that they can determine what gender they want to be, and their physical attributes may not necessarily be the final word on their actual gender. And this is what your children are being taught or shall be taught. Listen, that's what our government, that's what our culture is now doing, because it has gone illogical, away from God's logic, and we're in, as it was in the time of Judges. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. But just because it's happening in our culture doesn't make it right. Do you have a standard that is tried and true based upon science, based upon history, based upon 5,000 years of culture that backs up your position? God says, I've made man male and female. That is mankind, male and female. And he's not confused by that whatsoever. In Psalm 139, verse 13, the Bible says, for you formed my inward parts. You, God, created me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. By the way, science attests to all these things. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. There is a logical function and a meaning to our sexuality as humans. Human sexuality, by its very existence, argues for the difference and diversities of the sexes. God did this. Now, this is such a prevalent issue. I can tell you right now, from week to week, I can gauge how popular and how relevant the message is based upon the vitality of the sanctuary. And when something is less politically correct, it gets quiet in here like it is right now. Some of you are saying, man, you know, write this down. I'm learning something. Some of you are saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's talking about this. And some of you are falling asleep because this is the world you live in. But is God's word the standard in your life? Is the God you worship big enough that our culture bows to him? Some of you would say no, perhaps. I don't know. But I say my God is bigger. My God is all awesome. My God is all powerful. And my God knows what he's doing. And my God is logical. And there is a reason, by the way, our culture is drifting in a certain direction. We can answer that in weeks ahead. There's a reason why arguments are put forth and confusion is put forth about issues and people are deliberating issues and saying, well, we have to make words up. We have to make the things happen because we've departed from God. What used to be a psychosis or what used to be something that therapy or conversion or ministry or analysis could address, now that's all gone out the window because it's whatever feels good to you, you do it. And God says, no, this is not true. And you say, well, why would God impose that upon us? Because he loves you. Because he cares. No parent lets a child do whatever they want to do. It's funny because when I didn't have kids, I used to think in my mind, boy, that parent doesn't know what they're doing. Did you ever do that? And then you had kids, and then it's like, man, now I know that why that parent was doing that back then. Boy, you learn a lot when you have kids. But one of the things you learn that's tough being a parent is telling your kids, especially when they're so doggone cute and they're looking at you in the face and they're doing all this wrong stuff and you got to bite your lip to keep from laughing and tell them, don't do that or you're going to get a spanking. And you got to bite your lip because you want to bust up laughing. Because what they're doing is wrong, but it's so cute how they did it. So what? I love my kids so much, I let them do whatever they want to do. You don't love your kid. Believe me. And God loves you, and he doesn't want your life messed up. And it doesn't matter what the culture says to you in the way of approval, thumbs up, acceptance. I don't want my doctor to accept my cancer and not tell me about it. If my wheels are coming off of my car, I want my mechanic to say, don't drive it. And when we're heading down a course of a culture that statistically, Europe tragically has great data for us to study. We're heading down a path where there are no gender applications any longer. It leads to absolute chaos. And the data is overwhelming for that. He created the male and female. He created them. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 verses 6 through 9. Jesus says, but from the beginning of the creation, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then there, notice that, one flesh. How can that be? So then there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, so there's a joining, an interesting joining. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Jesus is saying right here, listen, there's something where a male and a female come together, a husband and wife come together, in sexuality, that is so important to God. God says it's that transaction between two people in the marital state that God says there's a bonding that takes place that any man who separates that will have to take on God himself. Wow. And Jesus said that when that happens, when they come together, and by the way, we'll talk more in a minute about what brings a male and a female, a husband and wife together, all the things that lead up to that, it's not just one thing, it's a culmination of things that Jesus says they become one flesh. And you know, it doesn't mean one flesh that they wear the same pants, they put crazy glue on their legs and stick them together. It's bigger than that. It's more stronger than that, as we shall see. But it is needful that in the reproduction in humanity, that you have two opposite sexes, listen, yet compatible. Isn't that amazing? In tandem sequence, in concert to create life. And I want you to think about this for a moment. The meaning and the replication, the logic, is so highly advanced that when we begin to tamper with God's model, friends, listen up, don't miss this, that when we begin to tamper with God's model based upon our own desires and preference, we're sinning against science, we're sinning against God, who's the author of science, we're sinning against ourselves, and what happens is, because of desire or passion, we throw logic and reason to the wind that we might appease our lust or our desires rather than doing what is natural, what is right. And according to the Bible, for that matter, sociology and anthropology, the male and the female union is fundamental to human life. I've always wondered when there's a debate or when there's an argument regarding sex among the same genders, where are the evolutionists when this is taking place? I think evolutionists are the most intellectually dishonest people on the planet. Because where are they on issues that would destroy the culture? Have you noticed how silent they are? Well, they say, oh, it's the survival of the fittest. What's interesting about that is regarding, for example, same-sex sexuality, homosexuality or lesbian sexuality, the Christian is the one that offers them hope and assistance and love. What's amazing to me in our culture, where our culture's embracing Islam, that the way our culture is moving, little do they know that Islam, when given the opportunity, must kill homosexuals. That's why the president of Iran said, in Iran, there are no homosexuals. Did you know that? Why? Because they kill them. I'm not joking. And an evolutionist would say, no, it's the survival of the fittest. The race, the animal, the human animal must continue. And we are to eradicate the weak. And that which promotes life, that's what we embolden. That's what we strengthen. Isn't that interesting, right? But where are they regarding this argument? You see, the Bible says God created us male and female. Now, look, we do live in a fallen world, and there's an extremely 0.0-some-odd% where people are in their chromosomes mutated, messed up. Do you know how rare that is? And that is a biological anomaly. It's not the norm. It's not even close to being a full percentage. But God's mercy is there for that, you guys. God's love and grace is there for that. No, you see, God's engineered sexuality is logical. He knows exactly what he's doing, the God of the Bible. And young people tonight need to hear this because you're hearing the exact opposite in the public arena. I'd like to show you this quote by Dr. James Dobson, if we have it. He said, a society can be no more stable than the strength of the individual family units. Specifically, sexual behavior is directly linked to the survival of nations. You know, that's a true statement. I mean, you can't argue with this. You can't have a nation unless you have a state or states. You can't have states unless you have communities. You can't have communities unless you have families. And you can't have families unless you have a male or a male and a female. So there's scientific, sociological evidence of God's creative engineering regarding the sexes. And again, I cite over 5,000 years of human history. That's if we study human history. And so what is our sexuality? Number two is our God-ordained sexuality serves our purposes. That almost sounds funny, huh? But check that out. It's true. God-ordained sexuality serves our purposes. Did you know that's why God gave it? It serves our purposes. I'm going to run down a few of them. And look, I'm only going to hit on a few of them because you're going to email me later or grab me later and say, how come you didn't say this? How come you didn't say the other thing? Because I only have limited time. You can take this and develop this more in your study. But God-ordained sexuality serves our purposes. Number one, this way, a mutually beneficial relationship by attraction. By attraction. Now, granted, listen, God's goal in mind for us, watch this, God's goal in mind for us is that there'll be husband and wife, children, that children would grow up in the knowledge of God, and that the culture is considerate, it is godly, it is kind, it is loving, it is civil. All the wonderful benefits that we have as a culture, the Judeo-Christian values in America, where do they come from? When you read, in fact, many of you, in going through school or you've read in the past, you've read about what is called our Puritan fathers. Do you know what that means? The founding fathers were known, also known as the Puritan fathers. And when you hear the word Puritan, what do you think? Be honest right now. Be honest. Come on. Be honest. No one's looking at you. When you hear of the word Puritan or Puritanical, do you think, how many of you think evil connotations, negative connotations? Don't be shy. Be honest. No? Is nobody honest? I want you to know right now, most people think that it's a negative. It's a negative thing. So I guess all of you then view it as a positive, so I don't need to ask you. But listen, the general population out there despises what is known as our Puritanical or Puritan fathers. The Pilgrim Fathers were Puritans. And what did they believe? They believed in a very, very civil society. Imagine, they had no Supreme Court back then, you guys. And nobody could go kill somebody else. It was not allowed. Why? Because people were raised to respect the life of others and their property because they were created in the image of God. So you were to respect them. Even if they were a bunch of nincompoops, you respected them as a human. Do we live in a culture like that today? So who's advancing? Are we advancing? We are not advancing. We are degrading. Yeah, but we have iPads. That is not advancing. Think of that. But we're not advancing as a culture. We've got all the glitz and all the stuff. In fact, listen, I just found out, did you know that when the satellites fly over in space, that they can see Las Vegas from space? Did you know that the brightest place on the planet is the Luxor Hotel in Vegas? Did you know that? It's the brightest thing on the planet. It can be seen from outer space. We have more illumination in our world and less light. Listen, is it biblical to think that physical attraction must be a component of a godly marriage? Someone asked. Let me read that again. Is it biblical to think that physical attraction must be a component of a godly marriage? What do you guys say? Huh? The answer, you hope the answer is no. What it means is this: as long as you're attractive to me, if I think you're attractive, then I'll stay married to you. When you're not attractive, you know, for rich or for poor, now we have to include for rich or for poor, for ugly or not, right? But listen, it is a relational fact that physical beauty is overrated in our world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Our Sexuality? A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series titled The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It really is quite a resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything that is connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs. You can get real life videos, real life devotions, which you hear us mention from time to time. You'll get our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.